Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Do you think people who go abroad on holiday are selfish?
Yep, I never thought I'd be asking that question, I have to say. But these are the times we're living in. Take a listen to this message that we received. With all the talk of people losing their payment if they go away, I feel like we are missing the real problem here, which is that people should not be going away at all. The listener goes on to say, my sister recently booked a holiday to Italy, which she told me was a steal of a price. She is going with her husband and her three children. When she told me, I was clear with her that I thought it was selfish and that she should think of the wider picture of the country as a whole and not just her 2 week holiday. She said she picked a green list country so she didn't have to isolate. And to be honest, she is only thinking of herself and what benefits her. She says, we are not speaking at the moment because of it. Some people might think I am overreacting, but I don't think I am. We are not out of this pandemic yet. This virus is still with us, and I am sick to my teeth of people pretending it's gone. It goes on to say, I don't mind people going for dinner and drinks with friends and family because, let's be honest, we all need to see our loved ones and have some sort of life back. But going on holiday is a step too far for me. I blame the government for their mixed messages, and I blame people like my sister for their selfishness. Please discuss this because we need to shame people into not going away. The message is clear now, they say. Finally, stay at home. In block capital. So what do you think of that? This whole pandemic is causing rows amongst families, and it's not nice to see, I suppose, but so many people, I guess, have different opinions on it. And obviously that came to the fore yesterday when I was talking about it in relation to mask wearing and that. There's so many differing opinions that obviously it's going to lead to some upset and to arguments and all the rest of it. And this is a clear case of it happening in a family. But what do you think of that message that listener has sent in? Do you agree with her that going abroad on a holiday is selfish, or do you think she is completely overreacting? Some people will say, of course, that there is as much a chance of getting the virus in Galway, for example, or Donegal while staycationing, as there is if you go to a green list country like Greece or like Italy or whatever the case may be. Others believe that leaving the country is a complete no-no, and we should all play our part in suppressing and eliminating this virus. I want to get your thoughts today. Do you think people who go abroad on holiday to a green country, or indeed any other country that has more cases and that you're advised certainly not to go to, any country, do you think someone who goes abroad now and doesn't staycation, are they selfish? And you know, this is the question that is going on around the country at the moment, or this is the debate that's going on around the country at the moment, as some people decide to cancel holidays and stay at home and, you know, say they're doing the right thing. On the other hand, the neighbour, or like in this case, the sister, is heading off abroad, and it's causing some friction. There's no doubt about it. 087-188-0008 on the WhatsApp, or give us a shout on 1850-410-494. Mark, you're live in Classic Hits. Hey, Mark.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Are people selfish for doing this now at this stage when we have a small spike in cases?
Well, I was chatting to Niall a few weeks back. I actually flew out to Spain on the 1st of July.
Right.
The flights came back. I was only meant to go for a week, actually stayed for 2 weeks. And I'm actually just finished there on Wednesday, my 2 weeks self-isolating.
Okay.
I came back. I've stayed away from everybody. Stayed on my own. And I actually went just the evening before the green list was published. I actually booked to go to Turkey in less than 3 weeks' time.
Okay, so you're jetting off again for a second time.
I'm jetting off again.
Nice.
Why not?
Okay.
When I was away on holiday last time, I know there was people on saying the same, oh, you're selfish, etc., etc., but I didn't come in contact with anyone. Stayed to the regulations, same in Spain, had to wear a mask on the street, etc. The hotel was brilliant. There was sanitizers everywhere. It was more like a hospital, to be honest with you, with the amount of stuff they had laid out, you know, for the safety of people.
In relation to the self-isolating when you come home for the 2 weeks, are you working at the moment? Did you have to make an agreement?
No,
or?
No, I'm not working at the minute, and I'm not on the social welfare either. So it wasn't really a problem for me to self-isolate for the 2 weeks, you know.
Okay.
Not getting to see my mum and dad, etc. But
of course, yeah. And it's a matter of interest.
Took with it.
So Spain isn't on our green list, and that's what it's being called.
It's not, no.
What was the travel like? Was it quiet on the flight? What were the precautions taken in the Spanish airport and so on?
It was kind of eerie, to be honest with you now, because when we landed in Dublin Airport, the place was literally empty. The flight, I think there was about 30 people on the flight. You had to keep your mask on the flight, unless you were having food or drink. Purchases on the flight was done contactless. There was no cash. Okay. When we landed into Spain, you had, well, I knew there was a form to fill out, so I had to fill out on the airplane.
Okay.
A very extensive form, passport number, seat number, where you were staying, temperature was checked, etc.
Yeah.
And coming back, I found it different. We downloaded a form for coming into Ireland. It was just basically name, address, email, that was it.
Mm. Like, to be fair, and I was just listening to the news there with Louise at 12 o'clock, and they are now saying that most of the transmission that has happened in recent days is from people already in the country. So it's transmission within the country. They certainly don't seem to have much concern at the moment about any travel into the country, or certainly any people returning from travelling abroad. So I suppose that's important to put out today, because I just get the feeling we're going to get a lot of people onto you and anyone else who is going abroad saying they're having their couple of weeks away and sure to be to hell with it. That has not been a concern to date, that people returning from holiday are transmitting this virus.
Well, I was looking to go. I was looking for another holiday when I come back, obviously. And I actually had a look in Donegal, and there was a hotel I found for a week. It was the cheapest I could find in Letterkenny, and it was less than €800 for a week. I've got 2 weeks to Turkey for half that price.
Okay. So then I suppose this constant message of we need to not only try and protect one another from a public health point of view, but also help the Irish economy is all well and good until, like you look for a hotel in Donegal and it's double the price of a package that you can get to go to Spain.
Well, they seem to be taking, it seems, well, in my eyes anyway, it seems to be they're taking advantage of people being told to stay. The prices of things like hotels, B&Bs, etc. seem to have gone up. And even there's such a high demand for it. There was other parts in Donegal I wanted to look for a place, and I rang hotels, etc., and they were just chock-a-block.
Yeah.
One hotel actually said to me they've never seen it this busy.
And by the way, did you go with a family or just yourself?
No, just myself and a friend.
Just yourself and a friend. And before I move on to Patrick, I'm interested genuinely insofar as you're thinking. You know, when people are told stay at home, that there's, you know, risks, whatever about the minute risk of travelling to a green list country, but travelling to a country who seems to have, you know, a lot of cases there in Spain and things are spiking and maybe it's not as in control. Like, would you not be concerned for yourself even?
Well, not really, to be honest with you. The way I see it is, if it was such a big concern, cancel the flights to these countries. Why are they? I think the CEO, Ryanair, came out a few weeks back and said that the government is giving mixed signals to turn around saying, don't go, but yet they're still allowing flights to go.
Yeah, but you can't. I suppose they cannot stop flights. They just can't do that because people have to go for essential purposes. I think the message, to me anyway, it always has been clear. I know a lot of people say it doesn't make sense and all the rest of it. It's don't go abroad. If you have to do, but be cautious. And if you have to do, and these are the green list. And if you're going to, here is a green list of countries that there's not a huge chance of you get of contracting the virus. That's pretty much it. But they have to keep flights open for essential services and essential travel.
Green list. I've seen with this green list, actually, Ryanair again has come out and turned around and says to the government, listen, we're the slowest part in Europe reopening. They've given this green list, but they want more added onto the green list, and they've basically told the government, if you don't, we're looking into moving our assets out of Ireland.
Okay, but fine, and I'm sure big companies will start making threats and so on, and I get it, they've livelihoods, they've people, there's a lot of staff in these businesses, it's not easy, I understand that. But like, you know, you say, you know, we're slowest to get out of this and all that. That's fine. But I mean, you do look at other countries and they are having these lockdowns. You know, you look at Greater Manchester now. That was yesterday that news broke that they're not having a lockdown, but I think it's two families now can't meet. You have to stay in your family bubble. This kind of carry on that we were at back in March. And I'd rather be a little bit slower getting out of it than continuously locking things down, even from a regional point of view.
Yeah.
Do you know, why do we want to rush this thing and then end up, we know what's going to happen. We're going to have a county, we might have a Kildare or a Dublin or wherever locking down eventually. And that's just a pain in the backside.
Yeah, I understand that. But people as well on the mental health side of things, like people being, I know we've all gone through this, we've all been stuck in. And my way of doing that is...
Fair enough.
going out flying.
I understand that.
Flight going out, I says I'm going to go, you know.
Yeah,
and
I understand.
Precaution as well.
Yeah, and in fairness, you have taken all the precautions, and I can totally understand where you're coming from. I mean, from mental health, I'm no authority on it or anything. I think I'll be right in saying most of us have kind of suffered a little bit, just insofar as anxieties and all the rest of it. It's been hard in the head. You know, do we all say we need to go to Spain to relax that? I don't know. Is it a valid excuse? You say that has helped you or whatever, so that's fair enough. But hang on a second, Mark. I want to talk to Patrick. Hang on the line if you can. Patrick, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you, Patrick?
How are you, Mike? Yeah.
Well, people heading abroad, we're still in this thing. It's not going away. So what do you think?
Well, qualify this by saying my own background is actually in the hotel catering industry and all that. So
okay.
I prefer to stay at home, and this notion that Ireland is too expensive and all that, people need to ask themselves, you know, do the people in Ireland want to be paid the same money as what they're getting paid abroad, which would probably be less than half the minimum wage that they're getting here?
Yeah.
So there's a reason why things are dear here, because the wages are higher, the cost of living is higher, the food cost is higher, electricity utilities is higher.
Yeah.
So they need to understand all that before they start comparing like with like, you know.
I understand what you mean. So in other words, we live we might have our problems and all the rest of it and everything, but we live in a fairly prosperous country, and thankfully we have decent wages even in the hospitality industry, so you're going to have to pay for it, get over it, yeah?
Well, if you want to get Ireland back on track and get people back working who are in the hospitality sector without having a second lockdown, it'd be better to support the Irish than putting your money in another country, you know.
And what's your story at the moment, job-wise?
Oh, me, I'm on disability allowance because I have two conditions on my spine, so I can't actually work in kitchens anymore.
All right, well, that was pre-COVID or pre-pandemic.
Oh, yeah, no, that's going on. I've been out of work like for maybe 6-7 years, like I have to give up business interests and everything.
Okay, but so what do you say then to someone like Mark, who not only has gone to Spain, which is not on the green list, not on our green list, and also Turkey, which is not on our green list. Sure, it isn't, Mark. It's not.
No, Turkey's
not on our green list. So, what do you say? What do you think of Mark?
Well, that's being a bit selfish if it isn't on the green list, and also he's not seen the bigger picture. He's just seen the cheap holiday there and then, but he's not looking at the long term effects on the economy when you're taking all that money out of Ireland at a time like this, when everybody needs to put their shoulder to the wheel and support each other. Like, it could be Mark's family, it could be friends that he knows who could be in the hospitality industry or something, and maybe they're not getting full-time hours or back in because they haven't got the customers there for it.
Well, Mark?
Well, I'd be straight up, Patrick. I used to work in the hospitality industry myself a couple of years back. But no, I don't see the point. It's my hard-earned money that I've worked for years for. So if I choose to holiday Donegal, Cork, somewhere like that, or Spain, if I want to spend an extra double that money to stay in my own country, now I've travelled my country, I've seen my country. I made a decision 2 years ago to start seeing other countries, and that's what I'm going to do. And yeah, I stayed while the pandemic was going on, but once the flights open back up, I'm gone.
And also, to be fair, Patrick, you know, it's constantly peddled that, you know, that we're one continent now, we're a union, you know, we got to look after each other financially. It's no longer just an Irish thing anymore. We need to, you know, spend money across the continent, I suppose. So that's what he's doing. Like, ultimately, our bailout money is going to come from the European Union anyway, so his money isn't completely going to waste.
Well, it's easier to, contact tracing if you stay in Ireland, like, you know.
Well, you said that you had pretty much contact tracing all the way, didn't you, Mark?
Yeah,
insofar as the airport,
the
hotel, the whole lot.
Yeah, even when I came back from Ireland, filled in the form, no problem, but I've done my 2 weeks self-isolation and I've never got a phone call, never an email, nothing.
Right, okay. Well, that seems
well,
to be happening.
Well, you see, Mark has done the responsible thing in what he said there, and he seems to have followed everything right. Like,
he has, yeah.
Not everyone's going to be like Mark, you know, not all going to be as sensible as him when they get alcohol in and whatever else.
True enough. And Mark, can we ask this question honestly, like, because I know what it's... Well, I don't know what it's like to spend 2 weeks in a house, but I know what it's like to spend a prolonged period of time in a house being sick or whatever. It's very, very hard, particularly if you're not sick and time is moving very slowly. Like, can you say you actually stayed in your house for 2 weeks?
I stayed in my house for 2 weeks solid. I got my money's worth out of Netflix anyway, that's for sure.
And will you do the same when you come back from Turkey? 2 weeks?
From Turkey, if it's still in place I'm going for the 2 weeks, so that's 5 weeks' time. We don't know what.
Is it really? Is it really worth it? 2 weeks for the sun, and then you have to spend 2 weeks sitting watching Netflix.
Yeah, I'll spend the 2 weeks planning my next holiday. Yeah,
well, I cancelled my wedding, so you know. So I mean, because it was abroad, like so.
You did, Patrick? Did you?
Yeah. Put it back in next year, like. Yeah.
Where was it meant to be?
Philippines.
Philippines, okay. God, you were going a fair old distance to
well, the girl's
to have
the wedding. From the Philippines.
From the Philippines,
right, so.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
And what's the story in the Philippines? I haven't seen anything.
Well, they're still not fully, there's certain parts of it are open, but not all of it, and there's a lot of it in lockdown, and yeah, there's maybe 7 or 8 different, do anything like, you know.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be a best man, actually, for my mate's wedding. And that too was put forward, so that's not until next year. I had the whole stag done. I had about 18 fellas, so I'd organised everything, got the deposits and got the full payment. So I spent the first part of this pandemic repaying people for a number of days. Listen, hang on, Mark and Patrick. Joe, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you, Joe?
Oh, sorry, Joe. 1 second now. I have you now.
Now, Joe, how are you?
Hi. Firstly, I'd just like to say I pay over €400 a fortnight tax. So I think I'm putting my bit into the country.
Sure.
Secondly, I had Barbados booked and I cancelled it because we were flying to New York. But I'm after booking Malta.
Okay.
It's one of the green.
It is the greenest countries. Yeah.
I still do have to isolate when I come home though, because I do work as a frontline worker.
Okay. Are you you're working in a hospital?
I try to not say where I work, but I have worked with COVID directly.
Okay.
And at the time that the COVID was diagnosed, we were not wearing PPE, but because I look after myself, I wash my hands.
Yeah.
And everything else, I was fine. And really, that is what it's all about.
So you're saying, and I know you don't want to say where you work. That's fine. Don't worry. I'm not gonna pry and don't answer anything you don't want to answer. It's totally fine. I totally get it. But you're saying you worked with COVID patients directly and you didn't contract the virus because you were careful.
Because I was careful,
And lucky to a degree, I suppose. You can't say that people who also were careful didn't get it. But I understand what you mean. So as long as you take every precaution possible, your chances are very minimal.
Exactly. I mean, like, I've 2 weeks off. I haven't had a holiday since August last year. I haven't took one day off because we've been extremely busy with
of course.
The virus.
Yeah.
And I deserve a holiday. And I'm not sitting here in the pissing rain, forgive me. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would begrudge you time off, particularly from a considering you're a frontline worker and it's been extremely tough over the last while. And God knows what's coming, by the way. We're all just sitting, waiting to see what's going to happen. I don't think anyone... Sorry, that's a bit naive to say no one would judge you. There clearly are, or we wouldn't be doing this topic. But I think there are some people going away and maybe not doing what Mark did and not doing the 2 weeks isolation and all that. Will you will stay in the house for the 2 weeks? You'll do that? You'll restrict your movements and all the rest of it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm being tracked as well. I mean, I'm taking all the precautions.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I could stay here for my 2 weeks off and I've just as much of a chance of picking it up.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers here are way higher than Malta. You know? So,
yeah. And do you worry at any, or have you worried at any point that maybe just like here when we have figures that kind of give us all a bit of a jolt yesterday, it could as easily happen in Malta? And I know there's certain insurance policies in place and they've tried to work that out that you can get home and all the rest of it, but that things could, the SHIT could hit the fan there too within the week you're on holiday.
Absolutely.
So you're prepared for that if it happens. It doesn't bother you as such.
Once I look after myself, I'm going to be comfortable and upright, yeah.
In relation to working with COVID patients and being on the front line and all that, your thoughts in general of, like, there seems to be such a divided opinion on this. There's too much lockdown. We need to get on with our lives. This isn't as bad as they tell us, yada, yada. What do you say to that, or what do you think when you read that kind of stuff online?
I think that is selfish and it's ignorance and, like, you know, people need to be more cautious. Like, I agree with meeting family and stuff, but, you know, abide by the rules when you're doing it.
Yeah.
There's people going out there, they're not abiding by the rules, you know. They're meeting up and, like, the numbers we're getting now, they are cluster related.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that speaks volumes. it means that people are meeting up in groups and they're not taking the precautions.
Yeah. It seems that certainly a couple of them have been factory related, so, and that seems to be a common trend worldwide.
Yeah,
because obviously people can't socially distance as much as they would like to in certain settings like that. I understand that.
I even find supermarkets and shops are beginning to get a little bit lax safety now as well.
Yeah, certainly.
It's rare.
I mean, in the height of it, obviously, we were all queuing for a long, long time. And now it's sort of rare enough that you'd be queuing going into a supermarket, certainly from my experience anyway. So I understand where you're coming from, but, you know, I did see a figure at some point, the Sunday Times ran it, that they had asked Tesco and the rest of them how many cases had been confirmed with staff and that, and it was quite a low level, which was good to see. So it gives you a little bit of faith in it, that it might not be too bad, that maybe people are taking as many precautions as possible, and that it doesn't need to be as strict maybe as it was at the beginning, because I think the one-way systems and all that sort of stuff is just being loosened up that little bit. But anyway, look, enjoy your holiday anyway, when you get there. Enjoy the sun.
Are you nice duty free?
You what?
I get some nice duty free.
Yeah, Malta. I was in Malta before. I stayed in Valletta. Is that where you're flying into?
We're going to St. Julian. I believe it's beautiful.
It is absolutely gorgeous. Malta is a beautiful
country. 33 degrees at the moment, sure.
Lovely.
That has to be brave.
Oh no, I tell you, it's nice and warm today, so don't be giving out too much. Oh, it's raining now, Helena told me. Forget that, so.
Oh, it's lashing rain here. Oh,
just before I came on air, we were all saying, God, it's lovely and warm outside. Listen, have a great day and enjoy your holiday anyway, okay, Joe? So much for us all in this together. We're clearly not people going abroad are sticking their two fingers up to others who've played by the rules and the frontline staff, that WhatsApper says. If you want a WhatsApp, by the way, 087-188-0008. Mike, it's all ifs and buts. We need to get on with our lives, for God's sake. Some will stay at home and twitch the curtains. Some will go outside. Let's just get on with this. This is a debate that will go on through the ages. The sooner we get on with this, follow the protocols, and stop pointing the fingers at people for their own decisions, the better, says Shane. Yes, there is curtain twitching going on. It's a good phrase as well. It's very descriptive for the times we're in. There's no doubt about that. I would say that there's absolutely no point in it. I think all of us at the beginning would have done a little bit of curtain twitching, but as long as the majority of people do play by the rules and go with the protocols and so on, you know, we'll hopefully get out of this thing sooner rather than later. But I can understand in a way how there will be some anger out there, particularly for vulnerable people who have essentially been cocooning since March. I mean, there are plenty of people out there who have massively restricted their movements, cocooned at the beginning, and are still massively restricting their movements. And when they see house parties going on, and when they see gangs of people going abroad, I can sort of understand it. It is frustrating, like. But look, there's not a direct solution to this, I agree. 087-188-0008 or 1850-410-494. Now, Martin, how are you? You're live in Classic Hits. How are things, Martin?
Not too bad, mate. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So the question then is, speaking of curtain twitching, should people who go abroad on holiday to a green list or not country, are they selfish? What do you reckon, Martin?
Oh, I think as time goes on, we're getting to understand a bit more of what COVID is about. I mean,
sure.
It's like catching the common cold at this stage. You know, I think everybody's going to catch something of it. And what degree it's going to be, you know, really, we don't know. And obviously those who are in the vulnerable bracket, you know,
yeah.
I'm sort of on borderline with that. You know, you are concerned, but again, you know, you have to have the sense and sensibility that, you know,
sure,
if the guidelines are there and people are following the guidelines, then we have to let society get on with being a society,
yeah,
and a functioning one at that. And, you know, I can fully understand, you know, people who've stayed back at home like myself for months now, you know, don't particularly want to go out because, you know, you might be in a vulnerable group, but we have to let...
Oh, are you gone?
Older ones, I don't know.
Oh, sorry, Martin, you dropped off there for a second. Have you essentially been cocooning for the last number of months?
I mean, if the work was around that I could get on with, then yes. But the thing is that obviously, as a country, we're opening up slowly,
yeah,
very slowly, and not perhaps as fast as we should in the European sense. I have been sort of held him back myself, you know, from going places and doing things. But I am in a risk bracket. So, you know, I have to look after my own health. But then again, like I say, other people who have different needs than my own and a different life than my own, they need to get on with being, you know, an active part of society. And if they can do that, then all well and good. That all supports us all.
Yeah, but I think, Martin, you're right. Like, we do, of course, we all have to move on, and people have young families and people have all various things that they have to get on with, mental health issues, whatever, money issues and all that. I completely get that. And I think it's admirable of you to say that you have a vulnerability and you have to take maybe more precautions and you're happy enough to see the country going. I think that's a fantastic opinion. However, the only problem is that those people without the vulnerabilities or that they need to get on with life, you wouldn't mind if they're doing, you know, if they're going by the guidelines and getting on with life. Because I think we can get on with life with the guidelines that are in place. And I'm talking about, you know, social distancing and washing the hands and all. But there's people not doing that, Martin. I think that's the frustration.
Well, people going out to Spain are left with no alternative but to follow the restrictions that in some instances are hard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going into different regimes with perhaps even protocols than ours.
Yeah, but actually, you're right. I mean, Spain and Italy in particular. I mean, I know somebody who was in Italy. In fact, got a flight out just by the skin of their teeth before the entire country was locked down. They were essentially on one of those flights that was put aside to take Irish people home, and they were sort of a bit shocked on how we were doing things, actually, because in Italy, particularly in northern Italy, kids were not allowed out. Like, they weren't allowed out of their properties. That didn't matter if you were in an apartment or not. That didn't matter if you didn't have a balcony or not. Those kids weren't allowed out. That's going to have a long-term effect, I would think. And they were certainly not allowed out to shops without masks. And they weren't even allowed out to shops without some form of government pass.
No, that's right. But, I mean, you know, that was at a time when we knew very little about the impact
of this
disease. And Italy had its own issues as well with its population.
Yeah, it was a massive unknown at the time too.
Yeah. So I can like everybody else. I can work with, you know, the unknown. But as we're getting to understand it more, and as I say, the guidelines are there, and the guidelines are changing every 24 hours. You know, and it's a war of words between the WHO and
it is semi exhausting though, isn't it? Like
it's
bloody exhausting. because and I've said from the beginning of this, what frustrates me is that although we can put guidelines in place and do our best, like, there is no absolute answer to this. Like, by all accounts, the only answer, if we don't want to get sick, is to just stay in a padded room, which you can't. You have to eat. You have to function.
You know, but you see, again, it comes down to the statistics. You know, if this is like a common cold, you know, that you can pick it up as quickly as a common cold.
Yeah.
You know, you then got to say, well, we all get colds. We all get pneumonia. We're dying issues. And it spreads from there. You know, we've got to probably treat. We're never going to be without this.
Yeah, probably not. No, probably not. And we probably will get a flu vaccine, type vaccine for this specific virus, and hopefully it will reduce it massively. But that will take a couple of years. But at the moment,
it just depends which, you know, conspiracy you want to follow. How quickly come on?
That's true. Yeah, but I mean, like, I think we all lose sight a little bit as to how much life has changed. We're amazingly adaptable as human beings. I mean, a few months ago, you know, there were 50,000 people in the Aviva Stadium. Like, that has stopped. That's not coming back for a very long time. So those sort of things have stopped. So we probably need to stop panicking a little bit. Hang on a second. Sorry, Martin, I could speak to you all day, but I want to just go to Susan quickly before the break. Susan, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you, Susan?
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Okay, go ahead, Susan. Back to the travel then. Are people selfish for doing it?
Look, I believe so. Yeah, that's my personal opinion.
Okay.
Look, I know we all want a holiday and we've all been through a lot since March. And some people have lost people and, you know, I personally haven't. But we don't need a holiday. Like, for 1 year, could people just not listen to the advice by the government? I mean, the National Public Health Emergency Team has given solid advice from day one. We had, you know, in my opinion, Leo did a remarkable job with Simon Harris, that, you know, they brought us on a journey, he addressed the nation, you know, and it got us to a really good space in comparison to our European counterparts. And we'd all love a holiday. But the reality is, you know, I'm not saying those numbers that were yesterday, the 85, were a contributing factor, because the actual statistics say they were Irish to Irish.
Yes.
But, like, we don't know in the future. And my big issue here is the children. They've been out of school since March, and this has never happened in the history of the state.
Yeah.
And nobody knows the long-term implications for our children in terms of their mental well-being, socially, you know, and their learning as well.
I agree with you. And like, I think, funny enough, from a personal point of view, I think at the start, I thought it was kind of, a lot of us in, and it's not about me. It's about people who have, you know, more difficult circumstances. I'm fine. I have a garden. I was at home and I still had a job. So I'm not going to start moaning about it. But in relation to my little one, my daughter is 4 years of age, and she, you know, this whole social distancing thing, I eventually had to sort of, you know, tell her about it because she was meeting her granny and granddad and so on. But that now is a thing. So she goes over anywhere and it's all about social distancing and she shouldn't touch me. And I'm thinking, whoa, this really is ingrained now, you know?
It is, yeah.
How are we going to roll this back?
And you see, that's the thing. And I think there's a real risk if the numbers increase. We're the 1st of August tomorrow. So depending on how the numbers go, and we all know the conversations that have gone on between the teachers' union and all the representative bodies, and they're all very keen to get children back. But I think we're on the precipice of them possibly not going back. And I think it all depends on people all rowing in together and doing this. And going on a holiday is not a necessity. It's really not. And I know what you say about you can't close the airport and it has to be essential travel, etc. But a holiday is not essential travel. It's a nice to have. And I can understand, I know people probably go to me, who do you think you are? I earn my money, I can do whatever. Of course. But think of your social responsibility to the country. I mean, every single advertising piece that we've had pushed at us, we're all in it together. So we either are for everything or we're not at all.
Yeah. There's a scientist, and it's Tomas, and I don't want to get a second name wrong, so I'm going to look it up. He is in the immunology department, certainly, of Trinity College. I know that much. And he has been saying for months that we need to completely eliminate this virus from the island, or else it's going to continue to come back, and we're going to have a pain in our backsides with this for God knows how long.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself at the time, I don't know. I mean, he's talking about
sensationalist.
Yeah, I was thinking, God, you know, you don't want to believe all these things. I said, no, I don't think so. Maybe he's a bit, this thing's going to go and whatever. But I'll tell you something. This guy's predictions to every little beat have come true. And what he has been saying, and he really put his hand out to be bitten or to be slapped, because he made such a prediction that we would have spikes in cases, we'll have local lockdowns, and it will be more damaging to the economy in the long run, is what his opinion is. And that's beginning to look like that's what's happening around the world. So I can understand where you're coming from. We shut it down, we eliminate it completely, and then we can kind of deal with getting back.
And then we can go back to normal, because I can't even begin to imagine what our hospitals are going to look like in winter if we have flu. And the frontline staff have done an amazing job at this. And the government and the National Public Health Emergency. I mean, I felt very reassured throughout this pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, with Fine Gael there. And I know people flagged them off or whatever.
I
felt reassured. And I felt we watched the cases go down. It was great. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I mean,
step forward to people who don't play ball. But the holiday thing is such a bugbear of mine. Genuinely, I just feel very strongly about it.
No, that's fair enough. Susan, I'm going to have to take a break. In relation to Leo and Simon and all that, I understand where you're coming from. I think, obviously, a lot of people are going to disagree and say that at the beginning things could have done differently. The one thing I will say, which I've taken from it, right, is that, and I think Fine Gael were accused of this all the time in government, particularly when Leo Varadkar was elected as Taoiseach, or certainly elected by his own party anyway, to be Taoiseach. He had spin doctors without a shadow of a doubt, and I think that was transparent in media and so on, that, you know, there was a lot of PR behind Fine Gael. And that was criticised. The one thing I think in a weird way, no matter what you think of them, that suited us. We were kind of lucky because the speeches, the calm nature of it, the optics of it actually helped us all at the time.
It did, you know. Even if you didn't follow the party or agree with them or their principles. There was a reassurance.
Or even really, how things were dealt with in nursing homes and all that sort of stuff has to be up for investigation going forward. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
But the optics, the nature of the PR spin that was well put in place, I think actually settled us that little bit when there was real pandemonium going on. Listen, Susan, lovely to talk to you. Thanks a million.
And
have a good weekend. Take care. 1850 410 494 if you want to get in touch. 087 188 0008. By the way, in relation to this story, just a bit of breaking news in. Staff at Aer Lingus have been warned the airline may seek compulsory redundancies and that the future of bases in Cork and Shannon are under threat. So that really does relate to what we're talking about, doesn't it? And that's very concerning news for many, many people around the country. Martin, you wanted to finish a point, did you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you packed in a lot in the last sort of like 3 or 4 minutes. That I really wanted to have a crack back at.
First yeah, you're always.
Fine Gael propaganda at the time of the outbreak of this pandemic.
Okay, I've had a lot of reaction to that, by the way. I should probably establish what I mean. Can I establish? Can I just? Okay, but can I just explain what I mean? I think for a lot of people, we were in a. It's okay to look back in hindsight now. It's just so easy to do that. I'm not saying that everything was done right. Huge amounts were done wrong. You know, people are going to be dragged over the coals with this whole thing going forward.
Well, I mean, from a political point of view, they played the PR at the beginning of this pandemic.
They did, but I'm just saying
to suit them in the government formation talks.
Sure. But do you not think at the time, Martin, that was a particularly frightening period of all our lives because we just did not know what was going to happen?
I tell you what was frightening. Two political parties playing in the middle of a crisis. That's what got me. That's what got my blood boiling. And then you get somebody like Varadkar coming out, partying with propaganda stuff. You know, quoting film quotes as though it's some big gas.
That was later on.
You know, and then saying that we all should, like, you know, be pulling together, and then he's off into the park, you know, with his shirt off. I mean,
Martin, you're muddying time here. That was only a couple of months ago. I'm talking about March. I'm talking about the time the schools were closed. I'm talking about the State of the Nation address on St. Patrick's evening. Yeah, That's what I'm talking about. Please don't get confused. I'm not talking about anything after that. I'm only talking about that particular time when it was an absolute unknown.
That particular time was an academic and civil service protocol on following health regime, which you can pick up in any manual. There'll be all protocols there laid out. Mm-hmm. Nobody in politics did anything other than follow basically what was a manual that's probably been there since the dawn of time on how to deal with pandemics. They were taking the lead from the WHO.
All these plans to deal with pandemics, Martin, by the looks of things.
They had all these sort of things already laid out. So, it's what civil servants do. You know,
well, Martin, if they had things laid out to deal with pandemics and a manual to go by, I'll tell you something, nursing homes would have been dealt with and other
That's the other political thing, because the nursing homes would have been dealt with, but they made the political decision. And obviously the management.
No, that was a medical decision at the time. That was a medical decision that was told at the time. Let's not act out a step here. Let's all work together and remember it. Anyway, there's no point in going back over these old grounds.
They didn't help the nursing homes one bit, so there was no helping working together.
But that's what I'm saying. But that was from Neffert.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is that they could have helped them out, but they made the political decision
not to.
From a Fine Gael point of view, let's not go there with slapping them on the back.
I'm not slapping them on the back. Yeah. I'm not saying they did a good job. I'm saying at the time, I would rather some decent optics, because it got us through, you know, some hard days. And then we discovered that all these things aren't possible. The recruitment that we were told about wasn't going to be possible. Various things we all became. But at that particular time, I'm just saying that it was pretty useful when other countries like a Trump and so on, or whatever you may think of the man, he made a bags of the start of it. You can't deny it. Even if you were the biggest Trump supporter in the world, he made bags of it.
At the time, the Irish Times are bashing the drum on anti-Trump. You know, we were letting people.
He made a bags at the start of it, Martin. You know, you can't deny it. He said it was a thing that was going to go away. It was a Chinese flu. That it's like catching the cold. We've 5 cases and it'll be gone. We'll have everyone back by Easter. The man lost the run of himself.
He's working off the same set of, like, nobody knows.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.